Welcome to the Raw Food Health Empowerment Podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Salmon, certified integrative nutrition coach and brain health licensed trainer. And this episode is specifically for folks who are not the perfect raw vegans, right? I'm going to share a personal story. So when I first went vegan, I gained 20 pounds. And the only reason I went vegan was to avoid type 2 diabetes and the pain and suffering that comes with it, like my grandma experienced, like I watched her experience. But the foods I was eating were basically the same foods I was eating before going vegan without any vegetables. I thought in my head that in order to lose the weight, get back to where I was, I need to incorporate more vegetables in my nutrition plan. That's what I did. And I started with smoothies because I really didn't like vegetables, right? So green smoothies just seemed to me the best way to go about it because then I could get in the greens without actually tasting it. And then that kind of cleaned my palate, opened me up to try new things. Cafe Gratitude was nearby, so I got to try a lot of raw vegan gourmet cuisine. And I went to the library and picked up raw recipe books from Annie Fio, Jennifer Kornbleet, Sarma from Pure Food and Wine. She had a restaurant in New York called One Lucky Duck, and she had a recipe book that I picked up. That was like the beginning of me getting into raw and starting to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. Fast forward then, like I got back to my normal weight. But then when we opened up the store in Chicago, we had a raw vegan organic juice bar, smoothie place. We had raw vegan entrees, desserts. We had herbal formulas and a whole apothecary at one point. And with that business, it was physically intense as opposed to the work I had been doing before. Before that, I was a commercial property manager. And yes, I would have to walk around the building sometimes, but for the most part, I was pretty sedentary at a desk working like most people. With the store, though, I had to be picking up 40-pound boxes of bananas and celery, standing up at the sink, washing dishes. You're standing up to deal with customers at the register. There's a lot of standing, walking, squatting, lifting heavy boxes, right? And because the store basically owned my life, I didn't really have time to do much like gym stuff or exercise stuff. But I did, one of our customers taught a yoga class, and I went there once a week, and it was like the best time of the week. I think it was like on Wednesday evenings, and she did restorative yoga in this nice, really relaxing place, and she utilized essential oils, and she would do like she would touch us. She would elongate our necks with the essential oils, and it was such an amazing experience and helped to really balance out the stress of running a business, right? Anyway, in that time, I got to my lowest at 115, and I was very happy and energetic, but there was a lot of things going on in that recipe to create that body for me, right? Because it wasn't just the body, it was how I felt, the vibrancy of how I felt. And so I say this to share with you that I've also been on a journey, right? I know what it took to get me to that stage. And at that point, I was only looking at body weight. I wasn't looking at what I look at now, which is actual metabolic health, my body composition. How much body fat percentage do I have? What's my muscle mass? Things like that. I pay attention to those things now because I'm more concerned about that than I am about weight. As long as I'm within my healthy weight range, I'm just looking to make sure my body fat is not high. There are folks who on the outside look skinny, look quote unquote healthy, and type 2 diabetes is forming within them because they have a lot of visceral fat and their body fat percentage is quite high. Their metabolic health is poor. And this is why when I look at charts to see where my clients are at and where we need to go, what direction we need to go, I'm only using it to give me like a baseline goal of how good it could get, but not necessarily to say that this person is unhealthy or not healthy, because it's only the medical charts only look at height and weight, which doesn't tell us what's going on inside. Me now with a more sedentary, let me go back actually. After the store closed and I got back into a work environment where I was working at a desk and sedentary, I did have walking time because I had commute time and all this stuff, but it was pretty much sedentary. Something had to switch, especially after the pandemic. The pandemic, I walked every day, but I ate a lot. I ate out a lot. And I was eating anything and everything that I wanted to eat, especially when I ate out. If they put rolls of bread out, you know, and I ate out specifically mostly, I would eat at Cafe Gratitude because they were close by. And this is during the pandemic. So I got to see how they operate pandemic times where they're trying to touch as less as possible and all this stuff. And Sage, which is another vegan place in Los Angeles. So those were the places that I frequented during the pandemic. And it was great for me because I love the experience of getting out the house and treating myself, especially since I was at that point working a lot, working really hard. And I felt, you know what, I should treat myself. And that's what I did. I treated myself. And during that time, I did gain weight. I think the stress of everything and just eating, I had no guardrails. But what I've learned is that you can eat clean. And I'm pretty sure I was eating breads in those meals. But even if I wasn't, I probably still would have gained the weight, because what I've learned on this journey is that you can eat clean, relatively clean. And when I say clean, I'm talking about as a vegan. You can eat clean vegan, even eat some raw foods here and there. But for most of us, I have type 2 diabetes on both sides of my family, which means that insulin resistance is running strong. We tend to be heavy, right? We tend to want to keep the fat on and gain the fat. I have to be very careful. I can't afford to do all the things. I have friends who they could eat whatever they want, whenever they want, and it doesn't change anything. That's not my body type. And I know the people that I serve, that's not their body type. Their body type is more like mine. Even when you're eating clean and you're not moving as much, or you're not burning the amount of energy you're taking in, then you can end up with this excess fat. How do you get it off? I'm going to share with you what's helped me get the weight off when I needed to get it off, right? And keep it off, keep things in check. So I stay within my healthy weight range and I still have the flexibility to not be perfect. So the first thing is hydration, and specifically intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is something I practice on a regular basis because I have a very healthy appetite. I will eat from morning till night. There is not a time where I cannot eat. However, it's not like I'm hungry all the time. I'm usually very hungry in the morning, but I'm not hungry all day long, right? Typically, when I'm eating later on in the day, it's just out of impulse or compulsive. And we talked about this in the 21-day New Year Meal Prep Challenge. My VIPs, we have weekly live calls during the month of February. And we talked about this on one of the first call in February about the 6 brain types when it comes to addiction, food addiction, right? Addict brains. And so we talked about compulsive, impulsive, and all this stuff. But what intermittent fasting allows me to do is to put some guardrails on my eating, right? Focus on eating at the right time of day, getting in the nutrients that I need, and then having a cutoff period so I don't OD, basically. And the benefits of fasting are immense. First of all, there's autophagy, which basically just means that the body is getting rid of damaged components within cells, right? Then you have the fat, excess fat release that can happen with that, because after the body burns sugar for fuel, it once it taps out on that, it's going to fat to burn for fuel. And then also, depending on how long you fast, there are different lengths of fasting for different results. You can go as far as like 24 hours of fasting. I have done before in past times to get over bread addiction, right? Get over, you have bread and then you just want it all the time, right? Because the gluten is very addictive. But a 24-hour water fast helped me get off that craving. And but not only that, 24-hour water fast, if you have issues of SIBO, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, or you just need a reset, right, on your cravings, 24-hour water fast is great for stuff like this. And then 36 hours of fasting, you get into, for folks who have weight loss resistance, 36 hours is helpful. And then there's, at certain points, you get into even stem cell production, which is really helpful for folks who have pain, inflammation in the body. Something is damaged that needs repair. That's where stem cells come into play and could be just real game changers, right? Because the body is amazing. It's a self-healing mechanism, but it needs to be given the tools to do what it needs to do. And with fasting, it just mimics the way that the environment that we used to be in before we had the conveniences of all the energy in the world that we could consume at the either at the click of a button or just walking a few steps. We don't have to, most of us are not farming and tilling for our food. We're not expending so much energy like our ancestors used to. For our ancestors to get an apple, they had to plant a tree and they have to pick those apples, right? To get kale and collards, they had to plant seeds. They had to go out and harvest. So there was always some work involved. For us, we just get in our cars and we drive to the grocery store, we put it in a bag and we have the things, right? And we're eating things that are even higher in calories, more dense. And we're eating lots of it because we can just sit and just eat. So that's been my experience, and that's been super helpful for me. So that's the first main thing, intermittent fasting, utilizing different fasting techniques. In Chicago, I would do a thing, and it wasn't really because of my weight, but at one point, I was doing coconut water fasts on Sundays. This is not a I don't think it's necessarily a true fast because I feel like coconut water must have a glycemic response, which will trigger the body out of an autophagy state. But I don't have any data to show that in particular with coconut water. I'm just making an assumption with coconut water. I know there's certain things like fats, and obviously in small quantities, can glide under the radar, right? There's certain nutrients that can glide under the radar to still mimic a fasting state. So there's this thing by Dr. Valter Longo. He created it called a fasting mimicking diet, where you get to eat and the body is still experiencing a fasting response, right? All the benefits of fasting, but you get to eat. And that's because what's in the foods that are provided are the things that can like just go under the radar. Right? They're not triggering insulin. But even if you're doing it on your own without that product, it's actually an actual product that you can buy and eat. There are just certain foods, and typically it's like fat. Teas, of course, teas and waters and things you could do with this. The second tip, right? The power of protein. So because I utilize intermittent fasting, and also not, I think it's not just that. Everyone has to look at how their body responds to certain things. My body loves, you know, there are periods, especially when if I run out of fruit and I don't have fruit for a couple of days, when that third day when I get fruit, ooh, I just like feast on fruit for a long time, right? My body just is missing it. And but for the most part, when I have my things consistently, then I notice protein is where it's at for me because the protein helps me get that slow burn. I'm not hungry all the time and it satisfies my hunger very quickly. What I do though is I couple the protein, whatever it is, it could be raw, it could be cooked, right? With cruciferous vegetables. So the bulk of what I'm eating to really fill me up is the cruciferous vegetables, which have protein in it, okay? But then with a higher source of protein. So if I'm gonna do like a smoothie in the morning, I may add flax seeds or hemp seeds. And typically, flax seeds is like my go-to, right? Just for hormone balancing. But I may add some hemp seeds if I'm having a salad for lunch. Because I typically do, I'll start eating at 7 and I'll finish between 2 and 4, depending on the type of day that I'm having, right? That's my typical 8 to 10 feasting right now. Okay, before this, I was doing 8 hours of feasting, but I've decided to let up. And a big part of that was reading Dr. Mindy Pell's book, Fast Like a Girl, where she talks about metabolic switching and how women need to fast differently. And I knew this from before, not necessarily the women thing, but just that it's good to ease up sometimes to, because you get more benefit when you're not doing it rigidly all the time. But Dr. Mindy Pells adds some color on it by bringing in the hormonal aspect of women and our, menstrual cycle. And so, because of that, I've been playing around with easing up. So, instead of 8 hour feasting, sometimes I do 10 hour. I just monitor how my body is feeling, basically. Because ultimately, for me, it's not necessarily a calorie restriction, which fasting is not so much about calorie restriction. Although, of course, if you're going to do a 24 hour fast, you have restricted calories, right? But intermittent fasting, you're still eating for the day. So the goal, the plan is to get in your calorie needs for that day. And something like a 24 hour fast, you wouldn't do more than once a month anyway. When I did the coconut water feast, which, like I said, is not really a true fast, at least as far as I know right now, I did that every Sunday. That was more of a spiritual thing I was going for. But yeah, it was really great. Honestly, coconut water fast is probably, it's way easier than a water fast in that you have electrolytes. So any kind of feelings of weakness, you don't have it really with the coconut water fast. The also coconut water to me has always felt very satisfying and a little bit heavy, like almost like you drank a smoothie, but there's no smoothie because it's just the water. But there's some heaviness to it, there's depth to it. And so because of that, it helped to kill hunger pains. But coconut water isn't that accessible to me these days here in Orlando as compared to Chicago, to be honest. So I haven't been doing that, but I just do water, tea during my fasting. Water, tea, I may add. At one point I was, but I'm not doing too much citrus these days. But or lemons and limes in particular. I would add like lemon or lime into the water a little bit. As we have a distiller now we're using in the zero water filter. The zero water filter, there's nothing in the water. So it tastes not so good, So I add a little bit of salt, Celtic sea salt, to add some minerals to just make it not taste so bad. Just have some kind of flavor to it. Now, mindfulness. We talk about mindful eating all the time. And because mindful eating is almost like a meditative practice where we can allow ourselves to just calm down from busy days and a busy life, focus in on ourselves and just nourishing our body, right? Eating slowly, right? Now, I practice mindful eating with my raw food meal prep. Right, because I'm focusing in on that. I'm prepping my meals. It's just me and my quiet time, distraction free, where I'm just making my healthy meals and I'm feeling gratitude for all the people involved that made that meal possible, including the farmer, the distributors, the grocery store, all the people involved to get me these items so I could prep this meal. And raw foods, a lot of times in the day, like my go-to raw meal, besides a juice in the morning or a smoothie, for lunch, I'll have a wrap. So I'm putting like recently I made a pesto, but it's a little bit on the drier side. It's not like a saucy pesto. It's more of like a pate pesto. And I put it on a nori sheet. I put all my greens in there, and it's a lot of greens. It's mostly the flavor and protein is coming really from the pesto, because I also put pumpkin seeds in there. So I have that. I have a whole salad in a wrap with this nori. And that's typically what I have because it's quick. It's easy. It's quick, especially if I'm not making a recipe. And when I've noticed too, since I've been making a lot of recipes, like new recipes, since I want to say the fourth quarter of last year. And sometimes you just get tired. You just want to eat. And so I find nori wraps to be like that for me. So when it, because nori wrap is like a handheld thing, and I'm not making it all like for the gram or whatever, it's just for me. So I just roll it up and I'm cupping the bottom to hold it together and I eat it. So it's a two-hand experience, right? And so there's nothing I can't do. I can't touch anything or do work or whatever. I just sit and I eat because I can't. It forces me to just be mindful and just be present with what I'm doing with that meal. Beyond that, when you get into actual fasting, when you move beyond raw foods and you get into water fasting, the mindfulness thing is more kicking in because now you're utilizing tools, at least I do, like meditation, contemplation, journaling, things to really connect with yourself on a deeper level, especially when the hunger starts to hit. So it's a meditation mindful practice. And in this journey of my life, I'm actually reading a few different books. I always have different books, but The Joy of Living by Yonggi Myungyur Rinpoche. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. He's a monk and he's written a few books. And this is one of the ones that I'm reading now on this journey, right? Of 24 hour, when I do my 24 hour water fasting. Sleep is essential. And for me, I'm an early riser, early to bed. A great book I recommend you read by Michael Bruce. Read all his books, okay? But he has one, Sleep Right for Your Chronotype or something like this, something about your chronotype or The Power of When. I think it's called The Power of When, something like this. And last name is Bruce, Bruce, right? If I could find it, I'll post the link in the description. But according to his book, I Am a Lion, right? Early riser. Early to bed. But lately, I have been sleeping in later till 7, 8, more like 7. That's my sleep in. And that's probably still considered early riser, still considered a lion. But getting in more sleep, because obviously, when you sleep, your body's in repair mode and it can release that excess fat for you, right? You cannot release excess fat unless you're sleeping 7 to 9 hours quality sleep a night. So it's really essential. If you find yourself waking up in the middle of the night, you may want to go in for a sleep test and just check if you have sleep apnea. I've heard of folks who, again, they're healthy, they healthy weight, they look healthy, and they are diagnosed with sleep apnea. You do not need to be medically obese or even overweight to have sleep apnea. Now, part of the sleep thing, right? You want to sleep your way to weight loss. Part of that is making sure that your sleep-wake cycles are consistent. Your sleep-wake routine is consistent. You limit screen time an hour before bed. You ensure your bedroom is dark, quiet, and cool. This will just allow you to get that deep quality sleep. And ultimately, the goal for myself and for my clients is always improve metabolism, reduce cravings, increase energy levels. And this is what this whole lifestyle is about. This is everything I'm uncovering and unpacking for you right now. Stress management is a huge part of it, which is why I have a daily practice of meditation. I used to do yoga, but instead of doing yoga now, I just have my 55 minutes of low steady state cardio, which is walking. I walk out in nature every day. And this helps me mentally, emotionally. The act of me walking has me breathing, right? I do focus on my breathing. I make sure I'm breathing from my belly. And sometimes, because I find myself, I'm anxiety prone. Why is that? I find myself constantly holding my breath, literally not breathing, which is no good for the brain. And so that walking is like a reminder to my body to breathe. So this is a huge part of it. And also when I do this one time a month, 24 hour to 36 hour water fasting, this is part of also stress management for me because I'm using that time to deepen my spiritual practice, to connect with myself, to improve myself, right? And improve my life just on other areas that don't have anything to do with nutrition. It's a time for, it's like my self-care time. Now, some folks have asked me about like snacks and things like this. And to boost metabolism, there are two things. Some people do well, especially if you have a history of acid reflux, to do small, frequent meals. Other people, it's better just not to snack and just have big meals. And because I work from home and my office is basically right across from the kitchen, I tend to just have breakfast and then a second meal for the day, right? And it may start as early as 11 or 10. And that is, I'm just eating that until satisfaction. And then if I still have time before my feasting window is up, I may have more of that same thing. Okay. So I'm really only having two meals. The labels of breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I don't really use breakfast, I can relate to, but lunch and dinner, I don't know. I probably do a dinner or a dunch. I'm not sure. I don't fit into that box. This is what works for me personally. So you have to find what works for you and your body, right? And that takes experimentation and journaling. And fiber is the name of the game. This weight loss plan, will it work if you're eating saturated fat from meat, dairy, eggs? Fasting may work, but will it put you into metabolic health? I would think not, based off of the research. So all of this is with the premise that you're eating whole foods, you're eating completely vegan, right? But whole foods, right? So no processed foods. And yes, bread is a processed food. Fasting can help you get over it and overcome whatever issues. If you've kind of quote unquote fallen off the wagon with bread, the fasting will help you to get back to yourself. On top of this, I am doing strength training. So just keep that in mind. I do strength training, so my muscles are involved. Muscles burn fat. And this is how I've been able to get back to myself and stay at a healthy weight, but more importantly, improve my metabolic health, drop my body fat, increase my muscle mass. I think the last thing that I'm going to share is the psychological aspect of this whole journey. And first of all, you need to have fun. You have to find the fun in everything that you're doing. If you're not enjoying it, you're probably not going to stick to it and you're going to feel miserable. And the stress of the misery, I feel like, could work against you. So you may not want to do that. What I do, I'm not forcing myself to eat foods that I don't like. I make different recipes, some new things, but I'm using ingredients that I like. I made a bruschetta. It came out beautiful, like my raw vegan version of bruschetta. It came out beautiful and it was great. But in terms of the photos came out great. And if someone likes tomatoes like that, which I don't, they would have really enjoyed it. I could tell that much when I tasted it. But I was kicking myself that I didn't use sun-dried tomatoes, because for me, especially folks who've done my 21-day New Year meal prep challenge, I love me some sun-dried tomatoes. I prefer them over regular tomatoes. It's a personal thing. There's more depth of flavor. And if I had done that, it would have been bomb, right? But this is how you learn. It's like you experiment and you learn. And what did I end up doing with that bruschetta? I tasted a little bit. I had a little bit of it and I threw out most of it because I don't like tomatoes like that. It was very tomato heavy and I don't like it like that. But if I had used sun-dried tomatoes, that thing would have been done in a day. It was because it was good. It was good. It just wasn't, the tomato was messing it up for me. That regular Roma tomato. You got to experiment. Don't be afraid to experiment. Have fun, enjoy in the process, and celebrate your victories, right? That may look like every night, every morning when you step into the shower, dancing in front of the mirror, looking at yourself, looking at the progress that you've made with your body, and surrounding yourself with a supportive community, which we have on Facebook, on the Raw Food Health Empowerment Circle. So definitely check that out. Make sure to add a link and reflect on your progress. Make sure you have a way to track progress so that you can observe when you're successful or not, right? What does success look like for you? You can map that out, journal that, and plan that from the beginning so you can actually track success, because you don't know how far you have come unless you're tracking. And with that, I wish you the best of luck on your weight loss journey. I know you can do it. It's not an instant thing. It's not instant. Okay. This is change you're going to see over months, and progress will be made, right? In between time, but you're not going to get to your goal overnight. And I'm not even going to say it's a 2 month or 3 month. You would have to do some extreme dieting for stuff like that. Most people. But you will start to see changes enough where you will get excited to move forward and make this a lifestyle. It's okay. It's okay. It's a fun experience, and you will reach your goals. You are not stuck with the brain and the body that you have, right? You can improve it. You can improve your health. And until next time, I wish you all the best.